that God chose you, that you are a royal priest, that you are a holy nation, God's very own possession. Doesn't it feel good to be possessed by God? That means you're in his hands. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God. For he called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. So you've got a choice this morning to make. You already made one. The first one was you got up out of the bed and you got cold in the getting to the car and you made it to church. The second one now is allow God to minister to you as you worship him. So stand to your feet. Prepare your hearts. Lord, we thank you that we can come to the house of God to worship, to give you praise and glory for who you are. Thank you, Lord, that you in turn fill us, encourage us, revive us. In Jesus' name.
faith arise. In spite of what I see, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief, I choose to trust you. No matter what I feel, let faith arise. Let faith arise. For my champion's not dead, he has a life. And he already knows my every need. Surely he will come and rescue me. God of miracles, come. We need your supernatural
lies beyond the stars. There's dazzling heights too vast to climb. I I got so high to fall so far, but I found heaven as love swept low. My heart beating, my soul breathing, I found my life when I laid it down, upward falling, spirit soaring. I touched the sky when my knees hit the ground.
This morning. It's really, really super simple, but that means it's also a really, really deep meditation. And it's about finding the courage to surrender and to let go and finding that place in your life in every moment of the day, in the highs and the lows, to say, I fix my eyes on you, and knowing who God is, and that God is in you, and that spirit brings this sphere of focus. When you focus on his love for you, I just picture this ball of love closing in on my mind and my heart, and everything else just kind of melts away, and this has become the banner of my life, just resting in the peace of His love and just knowing who He is. God, we thank You for Your love this morning. You are miraculous. Everything is a miracle. And when we shift our perspective and we see life in that way, nothing really is impossible. We read it and we see it and we kind of know the gist of nothing is impossible with God. But stepping into that and living it out opens this whole new dimension of trust, where You are literally the only thing that matters. And then we're able to give that love to everyone around us. I had a dream this week that was obviously absolutely a message to me and where I am in my life right now, but there was a group of people in it, and I don't know who they were, and I don't remember exactly what we were talking about, but all I felt was peace. And there were beautiful, wide open spaces with peaceful flowing rivers. And for that to be in my dreams, that I'm dreaming at night in my subconscious, and waking up and just knowing that's where God wants us all the time. And that's why we're connected to each other, and that's what we're supposed to do to each other, to help each other find that center when we get lost in our heads. So I'm thankful for all of you this morning and for our relationships, and that we get to celebrate the presence of God together, because that's who we are and that's what's in us and that's what we give to each other. So this morning, just think about this song, meditate on it. Just close your eyes and listen to it. If you can pick it up, it's really simple to sing along, and let this be your prayer and let this be your meditation for this week and this banner over your life that God has protected and redeemed you, and that we can rest in His love.
Here in the shadow. Good. I like that simple stuff, don't you? Learned something early in ministry, the KISS method. Anybody ever know what the KISS method is? Keep it simple, stupid. And that's what we try to do here. Not you stupid, me keep it simple, though. You know what I'm saying? Well, good to see you. Get out of the bed in this cold weather. Wow. I'm looking up here at the platform and seeing these young people with, you know, the sock hats on. I'm going, man, I wish I was younger and I could preach in a sock hat. I guess I could have. But I didn't think I was going to make it this morning. I got up and my barber had already left and I couldn't get in my car. It was frozen. And so I tried to be a wimpy saint and go, well, I guess that's not meant for me to go this morning. But Dusty got in and so I came in her car. And but we already got a text from Dusty that Jet was not happy to see her. That's bad on us. Because he knows his Neapolitan ice cream diet is going to drop. He's not going to be able to get it every moment of every day that he wants it. Because we don't say no. Because we don't fight battles that we don't have to fight. I wasn't called to be a granddaddy to discipline. I was called to love, to be there to meet their every need, because that's what we do. And we just never get in arguments. You know, you'll never get in arguments with your kid if you let them have everything they want. Life is so much more simple than people want to make it. It really is. Just give them what they want. I found out what Barbara wants, let her have it. She's happy. She found out the same thing. Give him what he wants, he's happy. Isn't that what life is about? Pretty much, you think about it. Think about it. Let me tell you something. God is a God. And the simplicity I'm going to give you this morning, this past year we learned about who we are. And this year we want to learn about who God is. See, it's one thing to say, I am who God says I am, and that's an awesome thought, and it's an awesome revelation, because as we begin to see ourselves the way God sees us, then we see ourselves really as a person that he greatly loves, that he is interested in, that he wants the best for. So, I am who God says I am, but I want to turn it around a little bit this year, and God is who he says he is. God is who he says he is. Because there's a lot of people who see God in a light that that's not him. They see him as an austere, judgmental guy looking down out of heaven, waiting for you to mess up. And when you do, he's going to come on the scene and knock you upside the head and try to straighten you out. And that's not the God that we serve. The Bible says that the kindness of God is what leads men to repentance. And God is a loving God. He's a kind God. He's a generous God. And so what I want to talk about this morning, our theme for this year is the banquet table. And I did not want to use the term paradigm shift again, but as I was studying this week, I just really felt deep in my heart, it's okay. It's another paradigm shift to see God at the table with us, and that at this table, everybody is on the same level. We talked about that last week. Aren't you glad of that? When you come to the table, to the banquet table of God, everybody's on the same level. And if you like Mephibosheth and you are crippled in your feet, and Mephibosheth's name meant shame, when he sat at King David's table, his feet were under the table, so he could not see his crippled feet or could not see his shame. And so when you come to the banquet table and you realize that who you are at the banquet table and your feet, your shame is under the table, so we should sit here in total peace, that knowing that God only wants what's best for us, only wants to give us the best nourishment that we can have, because that's the kind of God that he is. So let's read this story one more time out of Luke 14. It says, hearing this, a man sitting at the table with Jesus exclaimed, what a blessing it will be to attend a banquet in the kingdom of God. Blessing means to be envied. It means to be happy, to be prosperous. So he says how prosperous, how to be envied, how happy is the person who sits at the banquet table with God. Jesus replied with this story. A man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations. And when the banquet was ready, he sent his servants to tell the guests, "Come, the banquet is ready." But all they began to make excuses. One said, "I've just bought a field and must inspect it. Please excuse me." Another said, "I've just bought 5 pairs of oxen. I want to try them out. Please excuse me." Another said, "I now have a wife, so I can't come." The servant returned and told his master what they said, and his master was furious and said, "Go quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town, invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame." And after the servant had done this, he says, "There's still room for more." So his master said, "Go out into the country lanes, behind the hedges, and urge anyone you find to come so that the house may be full." Isn't that a beautiful passage of scripture? He first said, go out and get people who don't think they have a need for God. Go invite them. Go invite people who have their oxen, who have this, who have that, who have their relationships fulfilled. Go out and invite them, although they don't think they need me. They think they're sufficient in themselves. They have all they need. Still invite them, because how many know that no one is insufficient of God? Everybody needs God. No matter who you are, where you are, everybody needs the Creator who created them. I mean, doesn't you think He would know best? Don't you think He knows best? I think about Christmas and, putting stuff together. Yep. I hate reading instructions. I love reading the Bible, but I hate reading instructions. Anybody else hate reading instructions? And you try to put it together. Mike bought his grandson this truck, little truck thing. We was going to put it together one night. And so we started putting it together. And I thought, just pop these wheels on first, because that seemed like the first thing you ought to do. So anyway, we got about 10 minutes into it. I looked at Mike and I said, if you'll just leave it here, Barbara will come home tomorrow. And when she sees it, she'll probably put it together. She reads instructions, and she'll do it. And lo and behold, by the confession of my mouth and the belief in God Almighty, we came home that next evening, and that truck was together. Someone had created it because they read the instructions. We can read the instructions and find that our life can be put together correctly. Correctly. And if we will just know what God's vision and purpose is for our life. Don't you want to know that? Years ago, we had 2 churches to merge with us and over a period of a year. And in the middle of that, there was another church that was thinking about merging with us. And I was called to a meeting with them. And at the meeting, they were asking me questions. And one lady looked up at me and said, just like this, "What's your vision, preacher?" Well, first of all, I had the answer, but I didn't have the attitude to give the answer, if you know what I mean. Because number one, I don't like to be called preacher. Because most of the time when you call preacher, the attitude behind it is really not good. I was at a golf course one time and coming out, and the guy walks up to me and says, "Preacher, what you doing at the golf course? Don't you think you ought to be out saving souls?" And I said, "Looks like I'm at the right place." So I didn't have the attitude to answer that question for the moment, because my first response was, "My vision is 2020. What's yours?" And then how you think real fast? And so I thought that through, Raph, and I went, "Nah, that's not you. We're trying to merge this church. We ain't trying to run them off. So let's try to think about a way." So I said, "Well, my vision for me is what God's vision for me is. And God's vision for me is to be conformed to the image of His Son." That's God's vision. I want to settle two things for you this morning, because I've heard this for 40 years. I just don't know my purpose in life. I just don't know my purpose. My vision, I just don't have it. Let me settle that for you, okay? Your vision is to be conformed to the image of God's Son. See, Jesus did not send his Son into the world to die for your sins. That was not his main goal and purpose. That was the gateway, that was the doorway into what his divine purpose for your life is. God's divine purpose for your life and vision for you is that now that your sins are forgiven and you know and see that you belong to him, then you can be conformed to the image of his Son, and that he has come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly, that God came to give us his life in us to be experienced. Not to be a doctrine, not to be something that we know about, but to be something that we are experiencing on a daily basis. That's what God wants for us. And, you know, there was a scripture during this time taken out of, I think it's Proverbs, and it says, people perish for a lack of vision. And there was this huge doctrinal churches changing their whole philosophies. There was just this huge thing about you got to have a vision. Without a vision, people perish. And so this whole thing about a vision, everybody was getting. Remember that, Calvin? That was such a powerful scripture. For the lack of people perish for lack of vision. And so I found out perish means to loosen, to diminish, to go back, to make naked, to uncover. And I thought about what Jesus said, that we all know this scripture. It's the most popular scripture in Christendom. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And this everlasting life is not just a life that's eternal, but it's a life that is filled with power and strength. It's the Zoe life in the Greek, and it is his life lived out through us. That's the everlasting life he came to give us, not just eternal life. It's not the quantity of the life as much as it is the quality of the life. I mean, a lot of people have eternal life. They've got the quantity, knowing they're going to live forever, but they're not living the quality that Jesus said, I've come that you can have. I don't want you to have an eternal long life. I want you to have a quality life. Ain't that what we talk about a lot? Talk about quality time with people. And see, what the table is about is fellowship. God's purpose for all of creation was fellowship. There's three words I chose for myself this year. You can adopt them if you want to. They're three pretty good words. Faith, fellowship, and fun. Fun's always been mine every year. But I want to grow in my faith, and I want to increase in my fellowship. And when I do that, fun's going to follow that. Happiness is going to follow that. But I want to increase my faith. You know, I hadn't just really attacked my faith lately. I want to see my faith explode this year. I want to see my fellowship expanded, and I want to see out of that joy and happiness that comes out of that, because that's what God wants. And so when I found out what vision was, it says, when people do not accept, this is the New Living Translation, when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. Vision is simply divine guidance. You like that? That, you see, that's what the feast is, laying hold of divine potentialities. It's a receptive state of mind toward all spiritual good. In the beginning, God the Father, listen, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit created everything. If you've been in Christendom a long time, you've heard about the Trinity, right? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But the thing is that what we have done over the years, we have, yes, they are one, but yet they're not one. God is the Father, Jesus is the Son, the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit, and it's okay to see them as three different entities. Although they come out of the same life, they're three different things. But it says, in the beginning, God said, let us create. And so there was this divine relationship and fellowship that God wanted to pass on to creation and wanted to extend and expand his fellowship and relationships. And that's why it says in Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, worthy is the Lamb to receive all glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and they were created. It was God's pleasure to create us. And there's this story in Genesis chapter 18, and I want us to read this and see what Abraham did not realize that what, let me just read it. The Lord appeared again to Abraham near the oak grove belonging to Mamre. One day, Abraham was sitting at the entrance to his tent during the hottest part of the day. He looked up and noticed three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he ran to meet them and welcomed them, bowing low to the ground. My Lord, he said, if it pleases you, stop here for a while. Now, what did he call him? All right, that's important. Rest in the shade of this tree while water is brought to wash your feet. And since you've honored your servant with this visit, let me prepare some food to refresh you before you continue on your journey. All right, they said, do as you have said. So Abraham ran back to the tent and said to Sarah, hurry, get three large measures of your best flour, knead it into dough, and bake some bread. Then Abraham ran out to the herd and chose a tender calf and gave it to his servant and quickly prepared it. When the food was ready, Abraham took young yogurt and milk and the roasted meat. He served it to the men. And as they ate, Abraham waited on them in the shade of the trees. He didn't know that the table was for him. He didn't know that the three represented the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and they would have welcomed him. Don't you think you're going to welcome the person who prepared it? They would have welcomed Abraham, but Abraham was on this journey of faith and did not know that the banquet table was prepared for him. Everybody's invited. Everybody's invited to it. And it's to come to feast upon, to get this spiritual nourishment so that, you know, it's always good food. It's always good nourishment. It's always for our best. And it's for our best so it can change us. I was sharing Wednesday night about one of my favorite statements last year was the destiny of the Logos, the Word of God, the destiny of it was not the printed page. The destiny of it was in you. The destiny of the Word is for me to live the Word out. That's the destiny of the Word of God. You know, in my 40 years of ministry, I started with the King James Version Bible. I went to the New King James Version of the Bible. I went to the International Version of the Bible. I went to the New American Standard Version of the Bible. I went to the New Living Translation Version of the Bible. I use the Amplified Version of the Bible to study, to kind of get a better understanding, but I realize I'm going to write my own translation of the Bible. I'm not going to write it, but here I got a new translation. At first I called it the In New You translation. That's you. Paul said we're living epistles read of all men. And so when I wrote it out, I literally wrote it N-U-T, and it spelled nut. And I thought, well, maybe the translation ought not be a nut. But then I had this word, I really had this rise up in my spirit and said, really, if you live it out, you're going to look like a nut compared to everybody else. So I still didn't like it, so I come up with another one. It's called the NMT. It's a new me translation. That's the translation you and I need. Not just a translation on pages. We need to take it off the pages and get it in here. Get it inside here. That's the destiny of God's word for you and me, is that we become living epistles read of all men. the table is to get us this vision. I'm not a sitcom person or series person. I don't watch. I'm a surfer. I drive Barbara crazy. She can't watch TV with me because I'm just, my ADD won't last long enough. I'm just going from one thing to another. I hardly ever find anything. But this year I found this one series, and I don't know how long it's been on, but it's called, what is it called? Blue Bloods. Anybody see the series Blue Bloods? You like that? It's what I like about it, is at the end of every day, they do something families don't do anymore. They all at this long table, and the daddy is at the end, who is the police chief of New York, and his father's there, who's a retired police chief. Then he's got two of his sons who's in the police work. He's got a daughter who's a district attorney. And all of these are sitting at the table every day, every night. They're all there. And it's just such a beautiful thing to behold. And what they're doing, their conversation is always how to do better what they're doing and how to do it in the right way. And if somebody's not doing it in the right way, they get caught on the carpet. Man, I remember dinner. That's what all of my discipline from daddy came at dinner. I think that's why I was so skinny. I just couldn't eat. Because I never made it through a meal without being disciplined, it seemed like. Because it always started like, you got your homework? No. How was school today? Did you get any trouble? Yeah. You got a note from the teacher? Yeah. I mean, so dinner was a time, but all daddy was really trying to do is help my life. I don't know why I remember in school. You think you're fixing to get out of the classroom and everything's going to be okay, and some nerd raises her hand up in the back and says, "Teacher, are you going to take our math homework we did last night? I did mine. Are you going to take it up?" And that's the first time I would look over there. That's the first murderous thoughts I ever had in my life was those right there. I want to kill you. Why you want to raise your hand and say, "You going to take up the homework?" Somebody, I don't know why, anyway. But the table is for relationship. It's for fellowship. I want to read a statement. And this is, I believe, one of the strongest statements I've ever read. I wish I'd come up with it, but I didn't. It's, what is salvation? You know, salvation is not only a long word. Salvation, if you look up the word salvation in the Greek or Hebrew, and study it out, the definition is very lengthy. It covers everything you want covered. But I love this simple definition of salvation. The readiness and the capacity and willingness to stay in relationships. Wow. The readiness, the capacity, and the willingness to stay in relationships. God created us for relationships. God created you to be loving and to be loved. To be loving and to be loved. That's your whole purpose in life. So now you're settled, okay? Your vision is to be conformed to the image of His Son, and your purpose is to love people and to be loved. That's your whole purpose in life. The universe was created like that. Do you know the planets all function the way they do because of how they relate to one another? Everything is balanced out because they're related. And so this year, instead of talking about our being, we want to talk about our becoming. Becoming light. Becoming love. Becoming these things. And so when I think about three words, faith and hope and love, because I asked the Lord, this is my personal devotion the other day, I asked the Lord, how am I going to increase my faith? How am I going to increase my fellowship? And he simply said, by love. If you'll increase your love, you'll increase your faith, and you'll increase your fellowship. Because faith works by love. But how do I do that? How do I grow in love? Is that a simple question? But is that, if I started asking you to individually today, how can you grow in love? I believe I would start getting a lot of different answers, which wouldn't be wrong answers, but be different aspects of answers. How can I grow in love for my wife? Well, maybe I just start doing some things for her I'm not doing. That would probably help. Or I do this or do that, or vice versa. But I started really thinking about this word love. And Paul says we need to grow in it. The Bible talks about perfect love. The Bible talks about what love is: patient, it's kind, it's never rude, it's all of these good things. And I think, so I know some definitions of love, but I started, how can I grow in love? And I remember this lesson I learned long, long time ago. And I want you to see this picture, okay? I want you to see a door. You see the door? Y'all don't see the door? See, it's right here. Here's the door. You see the door now? You got it in your mind? Come on, you got imagination, don't you? See the door? Here's the door. A door hangs on hinges. See the hinges? I believe some of y'all already see the hinges. Y'all are weird. You see the hinges? Here's the door. Okay? Here's the hinges. This is important. Here's the hinges. Here's the door. The door has to have hinges. The door can't open and it can't close without hinges. It's got to be hung on hinges. Every door I've ever seen has hinges. If it works, it has hinges. And so here's the door that opens, I go in and out of. A door is something, you know, if I go to your house, there's a door. And if I get into your house and fellowship with you, I got to go through the door. You don't want people who come in other than the door, you don't want in your house. If they're coming through windows or something, you don't want them in your house. The people you want in your house is the people that come to the door. And the door is the faith and the love, but the hinges is hope. And faith and love hinge on hope. Hope is the expectation of something good. For my love to grow, I have to continually expect the best and the good out of everything. Amen? You know, Barbara and I have been married a long, long time. So I can say some things about marriage. I can. I'm not real good, you know, at some stuff. But I've been pretty good at this one. I've been married a long time. And I found out one thing that helps is that we stopped saying something that we used to say years ago. I knew you was going to do that. But guess what? You got exactly what you expected. I knew you was going to say that. Well, guess what? Why are you upset about it if you already knew it? If you already knew it, why are you getting upset? But when we started expecting only good, then I started seeing only good because I was getting what I was expecting. If you start expecting bad, guess what you're going to get? You got to start expecting good. I mean, if I'm going to expect something, let's expect the good stuff, right? If I go fishing, I don't expect not to catch fish. I expect to catch fish. If whatever I'm going to do, I expect it to happen, but I want it to be a good expectation, don't you? Come on, y'all help me. This thing's really, really simple. Just expect the best. You come here expecting me to preach a bad message, you're going to get it. You're going to get exactly what you expect. Let's expect the good. And so I want to close with this simple statement. Doors are our passageways to pass through and into better relationships and fellowships. And it hinges on hope. It hinges on an expectation of something good. Wow. That's simple, isn't it? It's real simple. But Paul talked about in his life the simplicity of Christ. He said, you know, I didn't come to impress you with persuasive words. I didn't come to do that. Matter of fact, Paul said, I'm determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Well, what if we all just lived our life based upon that? Just going to see everything through the eyes of Christ. See things the way God sees things. To really believe that best is yet to come. And then I know what that hymn meant when he says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. That's our hope, an expectation of good. You know, today is our sacrament of healing. And whether it's healing of the mind, the heart, the soul, whatever it is, my expectations of what I'm looking for is going to be the determining factor of what the outcome of that circumstance or that situation is. And see, it's not a, doesn't take a, it's so simple. I just can't, it's just so simple. If I don't expect good, then I'm not going to get good. Because whether we have gotten this or not, you have to realize just as God is a creator, we are creators. And we're creating our world every single day. We're creating about our thoughts. We're creating about what we're thinking, about what we're saying, about what we're expecting. Are you expecting the best? Are you expecting the best? Am I expecting to see the good in every circumstance, in every situation, in every person? Because when you read that and you reread that, and we may read this 100 times this year, but when you read the story that Jesus tells at the banquet table, He says, I don't want you to leave anybody out. I want you to even find the ones who are hiding behind the hedges, who've been hurt, disappointed. You know, there are people not in church today because they're scared to go to church. They're scared of what they hear. There are people who feel like they'll be beat on. They feel like they'll be embarrassed. And so they hide behind the hedges. But He says, I want you to go and I want you to compel them to come in. Now, that word compel is a strong word. And my daddy was a just old-fashioned Pentecostal preacher. But daddy believed compelling was this. Come on, boy. You go. And that's what daddy did. He said, if you got to go hog time and bring them to church, go do it. He really believed that. He said, go. You make them come. I think he did that because he made me go. I told you the story. Daddy made us go to church every Sunday morning. Me and Eddie were made to go to church. Daddy didn't go, but made us go. And so one morning you come in, Eddie said, Daddy Buren said he's not going to church. And I heard Daddy, I heard, oh yeah, he said he ain't going to church. He walks in that bedroom and said, boy, you going to church? I said, whoa, why you make me go to church and you don't go to church? And Daddy was compelled. And he said, get ready, we're all going to church. And two Sundays later, he gave his heart to Christ. But the word compel is the word we become irresistibly. We're irresistible. And you know what makes you irresistible? Your love. Your love. Your love will make you irresistible. And he says it's the love of the body of Christ, the fellowship of the saints, the relationships of people that's irresistible. Everybody wants that. Everybody. Loners or sad people. It can even be dangerous people. But relationship and fellowship is what the table is all about. Abraham found out later on, and he knew they would come from the far, from the west, the east, north and south, and east and the west. And listen to this, Jesus said, and would sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob at the table. He said they would come from all around. Abraham finally got a hold of and said, I'm not just to make the table for them, I'm at the table with them. But it's love that makes it irresistible. So we stand together, and you're here today, and you want to, I think the greatest healing in the world is the healing of a heart. I love physical healings, and I've seen miracles over my lifetime, but I think the greatest healing of all is the healing of a soul. A person who goes from here to here, maybe even goes from hatred to love, from unforgiveness to forgiveness. Nothing, nothing, nothing as fulfilling as the healing of a soul. Nothing. You know, as I'm watching my mother at 97 in the nursing home now, the thing that I know inside that body is this irresistible love and a soul that's just so right with God. So right. So right. Not any malice, no, nothing but good inside that body. Nothing but good. You're here today, and you would just like to see something happen in you this year that deals in relationships. I heard a definition of fellowship years ago. Fellowship is all the brothers and sisters in the ship and no way to get out. Everybody in the ship, nowhere to get out. You want to see something happen in your life this year that is going to elevate, take you to a higher level of relationship, fellowship. Why don't you just come and join us down here and stand across the front. And let's have a time of prayer and just believe in God, an expectation of something good happening. It's going to transcend us, take us to another level. I've never been content with where I am in relationships. Just, it can always be better. Always. Aren't you glad of that? I just speak peace over you. I know these headaches have been tremendous. But Lord, we just agree together as the body of Christ right now. Lord, that this tormenting headaches will just go away. And Lord, just peace that passes all understanding, just flow through her body and bring her all that she needs. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for it. God, we just want our relationships to grow. We want them to expand more. And more and more, we want to expect just one person come and stand behind each one of these people. You know, the Bible says any two agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done. But just one person finds one of these people and stand behind. As we just going to agree together in prayer as the body of Christ, as the family of God. Let me share with someone the other week. One thing I strongly believe in is osmosis. I believe you can just be with the right people and get something good just by being in their presence. That's why relationship and fellowship is so important. Sometimes nothing needs to be said but just be in the presence. And man, good stuff just starts going back and forth. And Jesus, one of his first disciples was Nathanael, and he said, you know, you're going to see the heavens open and angels ascending and descending. This is what has to be going on all the time. It's just this going on, heaven and earth, heaven and earth, heaven and earth, heaven and earth. And this is what's happening right now. Heaven and earth is touching. Heaven and earth is touching. And Lord, we just expand. We are determined, Lord, that we're going to have the capacity, we're going to have the readiness, and we're going to have the willingness, Lord, just to see relationships and fellowships just increase more and more on an ongoing basis. And that the door of hope is just, the door in the passages and to relationships, and it's just going to continue, Lord. We're going to find these open doors to go through because we're expecting the best. We're expecting something good. And we do that today, Lord. You know, this song is so simple, but it's so powerful. Yeah.
For those of you that are wanting to build relationships and go through the door, be sure you don't build a wall of unforgiveness.
Amen.
Because if you have unforgiveness, you are building a wall rather than going through a door. And there are things in all of our lives where we could walk in unforgiveness. But don't let unforgiveness in any area make you build a wall.
Right.
So that you don't have a door to go through.
Amen. You know, as they sing this song through one time, I want us to grab hold of this simple truth that He's God and He's loved by you. And you're loved by Him. And that's what it's all about. Doesn't get any better than that. Doesn't get any deeper than that. Doesn't get any stronger than that. That's just the simplicity of what this thing's all about. It's all about relationship. It's all about fellowship. It's all about staying in it, willingness, readiness to do it. Amen. Let's sing it.
Thank you,
Aaron. I'm coming back to the simple truth that you are God, and I am loved by you. I find no fear here in the shadow of your wings. You lift my head. Has lost his grip on me. Oh, I fix my eyes on you. Oh, oh, I find no fear here in the shadow of your wings. You lift my head. Shame has lost its grip on me. Oh, I fix my eyes on you. striving cease as you are singing over me.
Yes. Amen. Thank you, everybody. Have a wonderful week. Up here is Will.
You may be seated. As our ushers are preparing this morning to receive our morning's tithes and offerings, you can go ahead and begin doing that. A lot of important information in your bulletin, so please get that, read that. One of the items that is in there is a connection card. We ask you each week to fill that out. If you have a prayer request, you can put that on the back. If you want to sign up for something that is upcoming, you can do it there. We don't have sign-up sheets in the foyer. We have a meal that will be next Wednesday night, not this Wednesday night. If you don't sign up, you won't be able to eat. And that's at 6 o'clock. So make sure that you sign up for that. You can use your app, Eagles Way app, to pay for that if you want to. If you have yet not downloaded the Eagles Way app, go to your Google Store or your iTunes Store and download that. Way that you can communicate with us. There's a calendar there, lots of important information that is there. There is also a chili cook-off coming up on the 22nd. As of right now, I have one pot of chili. I need at least 15 more, so if you are interested, sign up for that. You can also email the church office at any point in time if you'd like to sign up for those. Let's pray and bless this offering. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we get to come to the house of the Lord, to be with one another, to fellowship, to bring our first fruits, our tithes, our offerings, our alms. We ask, Father, Lord, that you'll bless those, Father, to the furtherment of your kingdom in this community, in this city, in this world. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Go and share with somebody what has been given to you this day. And while you're leaving, you get to hear these guys play just a little bit.